I'm so excited. Slide one. We've been on a journey of exploring this talk series called Unoffendable, Living Unoffendable, and we're in session four. It's the last session, and when Kevin and Megan were talking about, we want to get married, we want to make this covenant real, and he's like, but we want to have church first, and then we'll have a wedding at the end of it. So I said, man, I'm all in, Kevin. It's okay. We'll do it. We'll have church together. But I personally feel like I have learned so much over the past couple of weeks, and if you are new to this series, I believe you're still going to get something from this tonight. Holy Spirit, the great teacher and spirit of revelation, the very mind and character of Christ is what we're learning of, and who has been nudging me and prompting me and walking with me and revealing to me where I have lived offended in my life. And so that's what we've been doing, is exploring this offense, this living offended. And it's where I've been harboring offenses and where I've been nursing them to some degree in my life. Has anyone ever nursed an offense in their life? I know I have. I'll just be honest with you. But Jesus has been revealing to me some of these things, and some of these, we're talking about drinking the poison, but don't drink the poison. And I've had some of those things sitting up on my nightstand for a long time that the Holy Spirit was revealing to me and saying, hey, Chris, you need to deal with some of those things. They're hurting you and not the other person that you're holding that and harboring that offense against. So, well, he's given us an opportunity again and again over this past few weeks to reflect on my decisions, on my actions, on my behaviors, on my posture, and to reflect on my spirit man even, and to finally pour out the poison. That's what we're trying to do, is learn to what it means to, we've been served a big old glass of poison, of offense, but what we want to do is learn how to pour it out over and over and over again. So if you missed any of the past couple weeks, I encourage you, just jump online, jump on YouTube, nudge your friends, say, how do I find out more? And this has been a teaching series that has helped us to see how easy it is to be drawn into offense. Drawn in, and to not even realize the negative impact that it's having on my life, the negative impact that it's having on my soul, and the consequences that it's having on my own life. Our theme scripture, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, and if you don't, it'll be up on the screen as well. But if you have paper Bibles, iPhones, you're welcome to use what you have. But we have it here for you as well. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 1, and I'm reading from the Message paraphrase tonight for you. This has been the theme scripture for our series that we've built our series on, and it says this simply, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Clean break from everything that's defiling me or distracting me, that's defiling my passions and my motivations and my agendas, my personal desires, and distracting us. Our host culture sometimes can be extremely distracting. How about even the lives that we live, and we're bombarded by Netflix and social media and so much access to everything, and it distracts us sometimes. We want a clean break from the things that defile us and distract us. Why? So that we can live our entire lives fit in holy temples for the worship of a good God. Now remember this, living offended, friends, is like drinking the poison and hoping that the other person will die. That's what living offended is all about. And this is what we want to learn to take away from this series, that we can choose, friends, to live undeterred by offense. We can live unoffendable. Now, this is one of our wins at Beloved City Church, to live undeterred by offense. Our entire lives broken away, being broken away from what defiles us and distracts us within and without. This is truly living in freedom, friends, as fit and holy temples for the worship of our good God. In slide three, let's be reminded, it's your right to be offended. When you're served up a big old glass of offense, you're irritated, you're frustrated, it wasn't right, what they said was wrong, it hurts. You have a right to be offended, but you also, it's your choice to not drink the poison and to let that saturate your soul with the darkness and the shame and miserableness sometimes that offense brings. We all will feel it at some point. Some of us are living an offense even right now, and chances are that it's having a very negative effect on you. It is inevitable you are going to face offenses. You're going to be served up offenses, but it is inevitable. You will feel offended, but you can choose to not drink it, to not engage in it, to not consume it, right? And then there's one more step. Not only do we have a choice to not drink the poison, but when we're served up a big old glass of poison, what is the next choice we have? Don't drink it. But we're going to talk about pouring out the poison tonight in slide four. We want to pour out the poison over and over. So don't let your life, your hopes, your aspirations, your dreams, your calling and purposes be hijacked, be derailed, to be distracted from what's most important in my life by this offense that has been served up to you. Psalms 119 and 165 says on the screen for you as well, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, who love your word, nothing shall offend them. What we might learn from this verse is that it is possible, friends, to live unoffendable, to live undeterred by offense, that it is so possible for us to do that. That when you are in love with the Word of God, when you are in love with the truth that's been given to us in Scripture form, that sets me free, when my life is built on the solid foundations of the written Word of God, I ingest it and I draw close to God as I read his word and as I meditate on his word and as I study on him who is the revealed expression of God, who was the word who became flesh and was revealed amongst us. When I'm reflecting on how good he is and how merciful and how loving and kind and compassionate he is, my life begins to be transformed from the inside out. And I begin to live my life according to his word and according to his way, in his will, in my daily patterns and desires and motivations that I face, begin to look more like Jesus, the word that became flesh, more like him who is revealed to us in Scripture, more like him than our host culture. See, when you draw close to Christ and you begin to live with that sort of openness in your life and confidence and faith toward his will and his direction for your life, you can be part of a group of people who are living unoffendable. Can I get an amen in the room? Is anyone learning to live unoffended in this last few weeks? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, way too many people today are still living offended, even within our cultural Christian circles per se. In fact, oftentimes it's something that we will actually embrace in order to manipulate people around us, to control the outcome of what's going on in our situation, to get our way, protect our vested interest. And you probably have heard this, that really offends me. I find that really, I'm really frustrated with that. I'm really irritated now at this point from what I'm hearing from my friends or neighbors or social media. I'm living offended by the host culture or my family and friends or whatever's going on, or sometimes even God himself. In our society, in our host culture, we seem to be really keen on the whole idea of being offended, feeling offended, making sure everybody knows that I'm offended, right? How offended one is. But friends, the result of this mindset that we get stuck in sometimes is that there are way too many people jacked up and messed up and wound up and bothered and bent out of shape. You know someone already like that. Downright angry. Because somehow we have allowed ourselves to be okay with living offended. But there's a way out, friends. You don't have to live like this. You don't have to live all bent out of shape and jacked up on offense. I mean, I would dare to go as far as to say that in this room, whatever it is that you are angry about, whatever you are irritated about, even in this moment or maybe this week, it is a direct result of you permitting yourself to carry offense. We all will. We all do. Me too, friends. Slide 6, verse, just because you feel offended doesn't mean you have to live offended. You can feel it, right? When you served up that old glass, you feel it all right. It's not very nice, right? I can feel it, but I can make a choice to not participate in it. I don't have to live offended. See, when you have interactions with other people in your life, opportunities for offense are inevitable. They're going to come. Somebody will pour you a big old fat glass of offense. And you like to, sometimes we stare at it. We talked about this over the series. We talk to it. We smell it. We hold on to it. It's dear to us sometimes. We walk around holding on to it. Sometimes even social drink with our friends and talk about that offense, right? They said that? Yeah. Well, I would have said, you know, interactions. This is what we call feeling the offense. It's been served up and you feel it. And everybody's going to feel offense, friends. Like life is not fair, right? People are not perfect. What they said was not right. Opportunities are going to come over and over and over again for you to feel offended. In the words of Jesus, he said, offense will come. Offenses will come. You will be served up on a glass of offense over and over and over and over again. They will come. It's not on a rare occasion that you feel offense or offended. No, honey, it's part of life. We will feel it. We will face it. You might even have an opportunity to come face to face with offense on a daily basis, moment to moment. I know for myself, since we've been talking about offense and living unoffendable, I've come face to face with it myself over the past few weeks, nose to nose with it, Kevin, with possibilities to live offended, right? So as soon as you start talking about it, all of a sudden, you know, as soon as you buy a Volkswagen Beetle, everyone's got a Volkswagen Beetle. You're like, why does everyone have a Volkswagen Beetle now? Just because I bought one. That's how it's been over the past 4 weeks as we've been talking offense. Why is offense always up on my grill? Right? No joke. I've had the possibilities over and over again. I sure felt it. I analyzed it. I looked at it. I smelled it. I even talked about it with my wife a little bit. Offense will come. And I've had to make decisions over and over again in this past 4 weeks to live unoffended. I'm paying attention now that we're talking about, right? Offense is going to come. I'm readied. I'm not naive to it as much. Maybe blindsided by it as much now. Maybe it was a blind spot for you too, like it was for me. And Jesus is saying, hey, offense is coming. Offense will come. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Life is not fair. Stuff is going to happen that you can't control, friends, that you can't avoid, right? All the time. And living offended. So you can feel offense. It's like this glass in front of me. And living offended is when you get beyond the feeling of offense and you drink the poison. Sometimes you even chug it. I want vengeance. I want, I'm going to get payback. I just chug this and I pour myself another one, chug it again. I'm drunk on offense, right? We've all been there, friends. You're not alone. And if you've ever experienced it, experiencing the consequences when you drink the poison. I'm going to show them, hold my beer, watch this. It's payback time. I'm going to make it hard. There ain't no way I'm letting them off the hook for serving me that old glass of offense. Not this time, baby. I'm not even going to speak to you. Silent treatment the whole way home. No way I'm forgiving you for that. These are things we've said, maybe differently, but similarly. And what you are really wanting is that you want life to be miserable for them. There's this distorted sense of reasoning that we have all have gotten caught up in at some point that when we drink the poison, someone else is going to hurt. Someone else is going to feel the pain. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you corrupting many. Poisonous root of bitterness that grows up means it matures and it troubles me and it corrupts many. How many of you know that when you get offended, you feel troubled? You can't stop thinking about it. It's on your mind. It's all you can feel. You feel it in your body and you're bothered. You can't seem to concentrate on anything else but what that person said or did or didn't do. You can't concentrate or think on things that are good and valuable because you're consumed with what just happened and how it wasn't right what they did. You can't seem to stop going over it and playing it back. It's on rewind. I want to hear it again. Play it again. And we end up nursing it and we end up cursing it, right? And scripture points out that it's corrupting many, this root of bitterness that grows and matures in our heart. So lots of people are living offended. Like most people probably are living offended. And the problem with living offended is, as we've been learning, is that it's actually hurting you. It hurts you, not them. They didn't suffer. Might not even know that you were even offended by them. By what they said or did. It's hurting you. They don't suffer loss. You do. They don't get stuck in bitterness. You do. They aren't even living with your envy. They've moved on. Life goes on, right? Your jealousy, your spite, your anger and irritation. No, baby, it's all yours. And it's hurting you and me too. And the people that you love, those who are close to you, that you love too, they too are experiencing the hurting you. I hope we can talk straight tonight. I know I might be new to some of what we're talking about tonight, but I hope it helps someone tonight. I know it will. So I want to give us a couple Bible verses that will show us that you don't have to live offended. First one is Proverbs 12 and 16. And this one spoke to my heart when I was reading it last week when I was preparing this for us. Because this is me some days, if I was to be real honest with you. Fools show their annoyance at once. You don't have to drive too long in Nanaimo to be foolish and annoyed at once. Or like Rick and I going across to Vancouver. We didn't have too much go on, but man, he didn't see this side of me. I was being really good. I was driving. Fools show their annoyance. Come on, really? That's how you're going to drive? I'm going to get, oh man, oh Lord, thanks. But the prudent says it overlooks an insult. See, it's not always just a spoken insult. Sometimes it's the things that we perceive as an insult toward us. Our perceptions, right? Things happen and we're insulted. It wasn't spoken to you. It wasn't someone cursed you, but hey, you were there and it happened and someone did something that you didn't quite like. But it's prudent to overlook an insult. Insult me? I'm going to overlook it, friends. Pay no attention to it. Not even going to entertain that insult. Nope. Some of us, friends, need to begin to learn what it means to qualify your critics in your life, too. There's a lot of armchair critics out there, isn't there? Listen, friends, not every comment, not every voice, not every side-eyed glance, not every behavior is worth giving any attention to. When you have set some people in your life who you trust as mentors in your life, people you have given permission to speak into your life, who have you have given permission to offer corrective words of wisdom in your life, because guess what? You know they love you. They've been pouring into you and you've been pouring back into their life too. And you also know they would give their life for you. Those are the people you want to surround yourself. Those are the people you want to pay attention to. Learn how to qualify the critics in your life. You'll save yourself some offense. Overlook the rest of the noise. Basically what we're hearing is it's prudent for you to overlook an insult. Don't be the fool to display your annoyance at once. I know it's hard to overlook an insult. Oh man, it gets up in your craw. It makes you itchy or something. You gotta act. It might take every bit of discipline in you that you got. I'm not going to let what they said bother me. I'm not going to let what that guy just did to me in traffic. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get past this. I'm going to get over this. Friends, I hope this lets someone off the hook today. You are free, friends, to overlook an insult. You are free to overlook an injury towards you. You don't have to let it get under your skin. Proverbs, next one for us, Proverbs 17 and 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. See, friends, like we learned last week on Easter, that our offenses were covered by such a great love. But through Jesus Christ, who came, lived a perfect life, died for our sins, and he resurrected again to give us what? To give us power and grace to overcome sin and death even here now. Perfect love. His blood covers our offense. So that's what we're learning from. We're learning from the best at this. In other words, you're free to move on. You're free to stop telling the story to everyone who will listen to you. You're free to go ahead with your life, friends. I hope this sets someone free tonight. Proverbs 19 and 11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's to your glory, friends. Meaning it's honorable to be unoffendable, to overlook offense that have been poured up and served up for you. But, Pastor Chris, you don't know what it's like to be me, to have experienced what I have experienced, to be going through what I'm going through right now. And I'm not joking, I'm serious. I can hear your thoughts in the room. I don't. And I won't pretend to know what it's like to live a day in your shoes. I don't know what your offense is like. And you don't know what my offense is like. But the truth is, friends, both of us have been given the grace in the power of Christ. If you have chosen Christ to let Christ have full control of your life, you have been given the grace and power to be freed, like me and you, to be freed from your offense. The power, friends, to literally take that glass of poison that's been served up to you and pour it out. You have been freed. You have the power to walk in the freedom that God has designed you to walk in. You have the power to pour it out. When it's been served out, you have the power to pour it out. But this is what life is all about. I might pour out a glass, and guess what? 30 seconds later, just might be served up another one. You all know this, right? This is life. It's not fair. It's okay. We'll get over it. But I want to encourage you today, because I want to give you a few things that you can do to live unoffended. First one, if we got up on the slide here. First one is just keep pouring out the poison, honey. Just keep pouring it out. Keep pouring out the poison that's been served up to you. See, what you do next, after you feel the offense, you've been served, you feel it. But what you do next is crucial, friends, to your soul health. This is where you either turn this way to go down Bitter Street or to turn down this way and go down Better Street, if you want to put it that way. I have a choice. I feel it. And I can hold it. I can nurse it. I can drink it. And I can react to that and walk down Bitter Street, or I can pour it out. Say, enough of that. I'm going to walk down Better Street instead. Literally your choice. When the offense occurs, it's fresh. It's like, I hurt right here. Felt that. That is the moment, friends, where everything is on the table right now. And you have the opportunity to get bitter or to get better in your life. You can get bitter or you can get better. Some of us need some soul health in our lives, soaking up the bitterness of past events and regrets and things that we've been offended by. There's an opportunity on the table tonight to make a new choice, to have a fresh start. Say, I want to make a different choice. I want to go down better street. I'll stop hanging out on the street corner of bitter, right? All my friends who are just as bitter and drinking, social, woo, party at bitter corner. You can get better. I mean, Simon Peter asked Jesus, so like Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive? Like 7 times? That sounds pretty good, right? That sounds pretty fair. Sounds even pretty kind of spiritual. I mean, that's tough. 7 times is still a lot to forgive in one day, right? And I can just imagine Jesus in this account smiling back at Peter. No, Simon Peter, how about 70 times 7? How about 70 times 7 times? Like Simon Peter, every time that you get served up that glass, every time you've been served up a glass of offense, you've just like already decided in your mind's eye or in your heart before the week has even began. See, friends, that's why we gather as a churching body or as a family every Sunday, the first day of the week. We're being prepared and equipped and refreshed and renewed and restored so that before I even go into my week, I've already decided who I am in Christ Jesus. I've already decided that I'm not going to be offended this week. I've already decided that I'm walking in the freedom that God has designed me to walk in. Prepared and equipped. YouTube's great. Your couch at home's great. But friends, there's no better place than being with the house of God, the household, the body of God. No place that's better, because you invested your time and your energy and your finances into God's plan A, his local church gathered. You leave here refreshed. We leave here renewed and readied with our mind's eye already made up. I am pouring out the poison this week, Darren. No matter what you say, I'm pouring it out. Stephen, pouring it out. You going for wings by yourself? I'm pouring it out. Offense is going to come, but when it does, girl, I already know what I'm about to do on that glass. I'm about to be pouring out some poison this week. I'm going to keep pouring out and keep pouring out. And it's going to be served again. I'm just going to keep pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. I think I'm being called to the ministry of pouring, because I'm going to keep pouring it out every time I get served up a glass of irritation and frustration and anger, strife and vengeance. And it's a lifestyle of living unoffended. Of forgiveness. It's literally like making the choice over and over again. You know, it's funny. Sometimes we talk about loving your neighbor and sometimes loving one another. And it's hard to love everybody. So what do we recommend and encourage? Love them for 30 seconds at a time. And then renew your love. I'm going to love you for another 30 seconds. I know you're irritating, but I'm going to love you for another 30 seconds. Here's, friends, this is what I'm going to do. Every 30 seconds, I'm going to make another choice to pour out the poison that I've been served out. And if I make a mistake and I get wincy and I'll get all offended, just pour it out again. Start fresh right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until next Sunday. Just pour it out. Start over. It's okay. 30 seconds later, do it again. It's a lifestyle of pouring it out. Stop letting the enemy of everything good lure you into a lifestyle of offense. To distract you and to trap you, keeping you from your blessing, friends. Keeping you from all that God has for you. Somebody shout out, pour it out. Pour it out, friends. Shout it out tonight. Yeah, pour it out. Amen. Pour it out. You and I cannot afford to get weary of pouring it out. Put it on your mirror. Write it in your journal. Stick it on your forehead. Pour it out today, Chris. It's not for someone else's benefit. It's actually for yours. It's your benefit. It's not for their blessing, right? It's yours you're messing with. And if you've been hanging out with bitter friends in Bitter Corner, Find some better friends. Instead of social drinking the poison together, pour it out. Find someone that it can encourage you to live free of offense rather than living with your right to be offended. Hey, friends, I know this can help someone today. Does anyone want to live unoffended today? You aren't here by mistake, by the way. God has something for you in this moment. Let me give you a couple practical tools before we close tonight. Some helps that you can live by to live unoffended. Is that okay? We've got a couple slides. The first one, you right with me? It's good. Here's the next one. Know your role in every relationship. Know your role. The first one is just keep pouring it out. You got to keep pouring. Next one, know your role. We're talking about living unoffended or unoffendable. And these are some practical tools. First off, pour it out. Just keep pouring it. It's okay. There's no shame in it. Pour it out. Know your role in every relationship. Now, this might sound really pragmatic, but if someone serves you up a big old glass of offense, you feel it, right? We've been talking about. But you can ask yourself, what's my role in this relationship? Hobbies, let me talk to you for a moment. When your wife is in a hurry and she says, hey, I don't have time to make you breakfast today, it may feel offensive to you, right? You might even feel a little irritated, like, whoa, great, the day I'm in a hurry, you're in a hurry too, and I get no bacon and eggs today. Mm-hmm. But, hobbies, I'm one too, so I'm talking to myself too, right? We can own the reality that my wife is not my mama. I'm talking about living unoffended, friends. And it happens quite often in our own households, doesn't it? I'm a big boy, and I can fix myself some oatmeal. Cornflakes. Laundry, maybe that's your thing, or house cleaning. That's your toilet. Clean your own toilet. Whatever it is, she's your wife, friends. Your partner, hey, it was a blessing that she's fixed you breakfast for the last 10 weeks in a row. Say thanks. Here's another, maybe you're speeding down the road and all of a sudden you get some flashy little lights behind you, whoop, whoop. And a law enforcement officer pulls up behind you and strolls up to your door and wants to have a little conversation with you. A little talk, and he gives you a big piece of paper with a big number at the bottom of it. Maybe he or she wasn't really that polite to you, right? Didn't ask how your day was going. I mean, they didn't even care that I was running late for a doctor's appointment even. Maybe knowing my role in the relationship will help me to remember that as a citizen, my responsibility is to obey the laws of the land. And Mr. Police Officer's role is to enforce those laws and give me a ticket when I be disobeying them, regardless of why I think I should be able to. This is my role, and this is their role. Knowing your role will help you to live unoffended, friends. Maybe it's a good reminder that I can't be getting hung up on an offense, but I'm pouring it out instead. Another one, your boss is your boss, not your buddy, friends. I'm helping someone live unoffended this week. your parent, they're supposed to parent you. Kids, children in the room. The flight attendant's job is to tell you to buckle up. It doesn't matter how much you know or who you are. Know your role. This will help you to live unoffended in your life. Living unoffendable, knowing your role and being able to flow in your role will help you to live undeterred by offense. I hope you're writing some of this down tonight. Here's another one. Managing your expectations. I know we've talked about expectations through our relationship series and the beginning of this series. But here's what I want to point out to you. If we have it on the slide, don't expect favors from people. I hope this will help you live a little bit more unoffendable. Manage your expectations and don't expect favors from people. See, when you approach relationships, whether they be at home or at your work or here at church or serving on a team, and if you have a secret expectation, a motive, an agenda, we might call it as well, what's in it for me kind of thought, you are setting yourself up, friends, to be offended. You really are. Eventually, when the other person finds out or doesn't meet your expectations, to you, it'll feel like they actually did something wrong. But actually, it was your own expectations. It's a mind game that sometimes us humans get caught up in, right? I'll do this, and then they'll do that, and I'll say this, and then they'll say that, and I'll get what I'm looking to get out of this. Maybe then I'll get the recognition that I deserve. I'll finally feel important and needed. And hey, some of these are good things. You need to feel important and needed and valued. But when you live your life with that agenda and you have secret expectations of others, you are setting yourself up to be offended and to live and drink the poison, and it's going to hurt you and not them. And when it doesn't happen, see, they didn't do anything wrong. They aren't even on the same playing field. You're playing rugby and they're playing badminton. Just because we've known each other since we're kids. Or, like, I've been part of this church like forever. Or this workplace. Right, I might as well just pour a glass right there, eh? We've been married for 24.3 years. I don't know when the last time I was even recognized at this job or get a shout out at church or at work. Or expectations, friends, you're going to feel it. Living unoffendable, managing your expectations. Don't expect favors, because you could be setting yourself up to be offended. Jesus, he told a story similar to this. He told a story of a person who had worked in a vineyard all day long. And some of you churchies might remember this story. And in the last hour of working, another worker comes in. They slept in, I guess. They come in, was hired to help work the last hour of the day. And when they both left for the day, punch out to get their paycheck, the master of the vineyard rewarded them both, as he said he would, but the same wage. The one who worked all day, like, I've been working in the sun all day long, and you come, you pretty little whatever, for the last hour, and you get paid the same as me? I got a big old glass of offense right now, right? And you pay us the same? And the master of the vineyard says, hey, wait a sec. Did we not agree at the onset of your day what I would pay you? What your wage would be? Did you not get what we agreed to? Well, yeah, I got that. But why did they get the same? The essence of this might be that you've been faithfully giving and serving for 20 plus years, and here comes someone who has only been faithing for 3 months. And guess what? They're going to heaven just the same as you are. Like, there's no seniority in heaven, right? And at the end of the day, you still be getting what you are promised. See, sometimes we make it all about here and now and not about the eternal life that God's created us to live. Eternity with Jesus, if you trust him as your forgiver and leader. Thank God for longevity and faithfulness too. I'm not talking smack against that at all. For those who have been faithful across the decades and show up and serve. This is absolutely beautiful. But at the end of the day, friends, if it becomes an offense to us, the other people being blessed just like we are being blessed, maybe even though they don't have the same tenure as us or same experience or same giftings, then it actually means that we're expecting something that is more like a favor system. And that expectation will be a big old glass of offense served up to you at some point. And you're going to need to deal with it. Friends, pouring out the poison, the toxicity in your life is actually releasing someone else from your expectations. Here's another one. To live unoffended is leave room for what you don't know. talking about living unoffendable. Leave room for what you don't know. There was a dad and his three kids riding on a bus, and the kids, like kids, they're up in everyone's business, crawling over the chairs, under the chairs, making a ruckus on this bus, wiping their chocolate fingers over your clothing, whatever it might be, right? Kids being kids. And after that had been going on for about 15, 20 minutes, someone finally speaks up. Dude, can you just get a hold of your kids? Like any one of us would probably do on the bus, we'd be rolling our eyes. Dad snaps out of it for a moment, calls his kids to him, say, hey kids, come on, we got enough chairs. Come sit down, come. So sorry, guys. Didn't mean to interrupt him. I'm sorry for the interruption. And he apologizes and he says, I'm so sorry to be a bother, but we're on our way home from the hospital where the kid's mother passed away this morning. And instead of being upset and rolling her eyes and sighing really heavy, now the environment shifted on that bus. And you can feel the difference in the air. Those who were irritated just a couple moments ago and maybe taking some photos are now beginning to engage with the kids and say, hey, give them some candy. Hey, look out the window. They're starting to give them some attention and kicking in to help and playing with them, letting the man know, so sorry to hear of your loss, my friend. What one piece of information can do in your life to shift the situation that you're in. My point is this, when you only know one side of the story, you could be missing a key piece of information that could change the way you see that situation, to see that circumstance, or to speak into it, or to help out in it. Rather than being offended, you might now have a deeper sense of understanding. So it's always better to leave room for what you don't know. Why? So you can champion your life living undeterred by offense. Just because Facebook says it doesn't mean it's true, friends. Right? Just because your neighbor repeated it doesn't make it facts. Right? Just because it's on YouTube, I could go on. You know what I'm saying. Leave room for what you don't know, and you can champion you living your life here and now, living undeterred by offense. So as I wrap up this series, if I could summarize it all up for us in this, to live unoffended, I want to encourage you to this in this last slide, Jeremy, slide 15. I want to encourage you to fight for the freedom that you've been given. Fight for it. We Canadians lay down too much and just get all offended. We're like, oh. Fight for the freedom to live unoffended in your life. Yeah. The freedom that you already have. Make freedom your goal. You want to live unoffended? Make freedom your goal, friends. Not revenge, not payback, not your right to be right, not getting even, but being free. And here's the key in that. In Galatians 5:13, here is a key for you to live free. For you are called to freedom. Only some of you are using your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But instead, love, serve one another. You're called to be free in Christ Jesus. And I love this verse as it proclaims our freedom in Christ. Use it to serve one another in love. I guarantee if you're living unoffended, you're not feeling like serving anybody, that's for sure. I know I don't. Do not use it as an opportunity for the flesh to serve yourself, to make yourself fulfilled per se. You can choose how to use your freedom, friends. You can choose to use your freedom in a way that you can live in freedom, or you can choose to use your freedom in such a way that it leads you into bondage. And I'll give you an example. We see this often in our host culture, even within our Christian culture too. Say a young person gets to the age where they can go out and party. Woo, I'm 19 or whatever. We are 18 in some provinces. I can go party. You might say, I can do what I want now. No one can tell me what to do anymore. Woo. Spouses might even say, hey, Who do you think you are trying to boss me around? I'm a grown man here. And we proclaim our freedom that way, and the next thing we know, we've used that freedom to create a bondage for ourselves, using that freedom in a way that creates an addiction in our lives, or created strife that now you're not quite sure on how to get out of that strife with your spouse. You've used your freedom in a way that hurts you and hurts others. You've become subject to and under the power and influence of something because you're proclaiming your freedom to do what you want to do. Well, the scripture is saying, hey, Christ has set you free, friends. You can, if you want, you can pour yourself that old glass. You can use your freedom to do what you want. It's totally up to you. It's your choice. It's your choice. I know over the past few weeks, as your pastor and as a pastor of this house, I've been sharing my heart and pouring out my heart and talking to you and putting it on the table, setting a table for you to eat at, to drink at. And I'm going to leave it there with you. It's your choice. It's up to you, friends. You can take the offenses of your life and say, I'm going to do what I want to do, actually. You don't know my story. You can hold on to it and stare at it, embrace it, talk to it, nurture it, share it with someone else. You're free to do all of that, friends. I'm just suggesting that you use your freedom differently than that. The same freedom that you have to drink it is also the same freedom that you have to pour it out. William Wallace in Braveheart, if you remember the scene, as he rides his horses up and down in front of his mighty men of valor, his warriors, all dressed up in kilts. Sounds warrior-like. Men of Scotland! He says, many years from now, I'll quote this for you, when you were lying in your beds dying, would you trade every day from this day until that day to come back here and tell your enemies that they can take your life, but they can't take your freedom? And that's what I'm saying to us today, friends. And I believe this with all my heart, that at this moment in history, on April 16th, a Sunday night, 2023, at Beloved City Church, this is a moment in time that God's saying, hey, this is a moment for you to choose. You can take my life, you can't take my freedom. And God has put me here, I believe, with all my heart tonight, with this message to say to some of you, that if you continue to live in offense, someday, lying on your bed, potentially many years from now, I believe there are men and women in this room who would say, and I'd give everything I have if I could just go back to that day and to that moment, to that season. I mean, I would give everything just to go back. And if I could have the courage and have the confidence to understand that God is with me, that Jesus is for me, and that I do have the power because of Christ to just pour this out. Whatever it is that I keep hanging on to, that I want to be justified in and be vengeful with. Friends, a life lived in bondage is no life at all. And I just really want to let somebody know that tonight, on the other side of every offense, I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but it is something amazing from God on the other side of your offense. You will discover God's goodness. You will discover peace that is beyond our human intellect, You will experience and discover a joy that gives you strength like you've never had before. His provision, his blessings. If you would just pour it out tonight. If you would join me in saying, no, devil, hashtag that. Not today, Satan. I am not going to harbor this poison. I'm not going to hang on to this anymore. I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not even going to keep it around for the sake of remembering. I am pouring it around, pouring it out, pouring it out. All around the room today, would you, along with me, make up your mind that I'm going to be the person who is consistently pouring out the poison, letting the offenses go, walking in the freedom and the healing and the provision and the blessing that God has for me over and over and over again. Come on, friends, there's no telling how much of the goodness of God is on the other side. I wonder if we could just stand to our feet for a few moments and if we could turn on just that last slide for us, Jeremy. Because I believe that there's freedom that's in this room tonight. And God wants you and he's inviting you to walk in that freedom tonight. And there's some room even to celebrate that freedom tonight. The freedom that God has gifted you to walk in through faith. God is setting people free even now in this room. So around the room, if you're... Let's take a few moments to close your eyes and bow your heads and give some privacy to your neighbor beside you. Jesus has begun a work of detox right now in hearts all around this room.